Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
What up, Tia?
What up, Dwayne?
What's up? You know, every time... right before we started the show, I'm always thinking, man, let me tell Kia, let's try to get another song. But then I hear that song and I'm like, nope, that song's perfect.
I think the same thing. I said, we're gonna play it through June. Then come July, we're gonna find another song. That's all.
You know what? For our listeners that have joined us, thank you for joining us. You know, the number one streaming show on the East Coast.
You're so optimistic.
I know, right? You got you. We're going to start this early. Guests, call in 845-241-9979. Kia, myself, and our guy E, he's not on right now. But we love this song coming in hot. Let us know. Either call in, recommend a song, or, you know, go ahead and send us a chat, send us a message. You know, say, hey, we like this song as your intro song, and you know, if we like it, we rock with it, and the beat's coming in hot, we may switch to it. Hi May. But Kia, what's going on? Nothing much. It's been a cool week. How about you? How's your week been? Miss Busy.
It's been busy, but you know, it hasn't been as busy as other weeks. I have been trying to take breaks here and there. Father's Day. Oh, let me do a late Father's Day to all my fathers, because you know, it was this past weekend. So let's do. Yeah, you get a gunshot.
Yeah. I'll take the gunshot. I love it.
So happy Father's Day to all the dads. You know, we're going to celebrate you guys the rest of this show. Thank you guys for being fathers, and for the fathers that are taking good care of their families and stuff. Thank you. So, but
awesome.
I took a break this weekend so that I can celebrate Father's Day. So,
well, I appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, the fathers they love. And I want to share that love with, you know, from a guy, from a dad, to the rest of y'all out there. Happy, I don't want to say belated Father's Day, because every day is Father's Day, right? So happy Father's Day, no matter what day. Just for those of you dads out there that's around doing your part, it's tough. It's tough being a dad. No, you know what? It's tough being a parent, period.
Right.
You know, I respect the ones that stick it through, male, female, but definitely happy Father's Day, y'all. This show is going to be an awesome, awesome show. I know that this is a topic that you – love, where we're talking about prepping, and prepping is huge. Prepping is a part of, you know, so first of all, this month is June, right? Firearm safety awareness.
Right.
Prepping is a big part of safety, a big part of awareness. And a lot of people always say, you know, I get it. I know you get it. Well, why do you have so much guns? Why do you have a gun? Why are you still buying ammo? Why do you have so much water? Why do you have so much this? Why do you have so much that? You know, and I know that you definitely have answers to those questions, because I'm going to bug you today, because I am probably starting to prep a little bit. You know, my wife and I, we talk about it a lot. We can do a whole lot more. So I'm definitely going to be taking my notes, you know, when we get to that part. But before we get over to prepping, I kind of wanted to do a quick, I guess, what's that called, a PSA. Did you hear about Winchester and the recall that they have?
I saw it. I didn't get a chance to read it.
All right. So same thing here. I'm not going to go over it. I'm just going to tell, you know, our folks out there, part of being prepared, part of safety, and also part of being aware is not just about your actual in front of you situations, right? It's also
Was that the ammo recall?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I read a little bit about it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they definitely recalled a bunch of different boxes they have. So I definitely challenge everybody, go out there, go to Winchester West Side. They're very clear on what they recall. But this goes back, folks. Don't just buy your stuff. You know, this is stuff that your life depends on. You're buying these tools, these firearms and the ammo for these firearms for your protection, for your safety. And nothing's worse than, I say it all the time in my classes, the loudest sound. There's two sounds, right, when you have a firearm. Two incredibly loud sounds. Nothing louder than a bang when your gun wasn't supposed to go bang, and a click when your gun wasn't supposed to go click. All right? So always keep that in mind when you go out there and you buy all this ammo, especially in today's time where they're trying to pump and dump ammo. These manufacturers are trying to keep up with this high demand, so they're just knocking them out. And we're running in there, buying them. We're probably hoarding them. We're stocking them because we're preparing. So definitely be cautious of the ammo you buy, and just staying to know. Kia brought this up last week. She definitely said, you know, a big part of everything that we're doing is just being in the know. You have to be in the know. You have to pay attention to everything that's going on out there. That's all I had. Did you anything you wanted to throw out there for firearm safety?
Yeah, I mean, even
jump into prepping.
Yeah, even with the Winchester. Winchester is reputable, right? So every, you know,
absolutely,
there's mistakes made. So you, like you said, just staying like. And I hate that I didn't completely read it all, and you know, because I didn't. I think part of the reason I didn't read it because I think I've shot all my Winchester ammunition. So you know, if it was a recall on that, it's gone. So and I did see quickly, I looked at it, I glanced at it just now, and it just said if it was purchased before March 25th, 2021,
yes,
then, you know, it doesn't, it's not subject to recall. So this is all the new stuff. So
yes,
like you were saying, Dwayne, I think this comes from the trying to pump out the ammunition to meet this demand, and there is probably some mistakes and things being made. So, yeah, so, and it just basically says that it may contain propellant that does not properly ignite and burn when the cartridge is fired.
Yeah, I know, that's what
and
I was
so ammunition,
too.
Yeah, so ammunition containing propellant does not properly ignite and burn, which may result in a bullet remaining in the barrel, which is, you know, a bullet and bore obstruction, and firing a subsequent bullet into the bore, which we teach this all the time. What happens when people don't pay attention and they pull that trigger the second time, what's going to happen to that bullet, Dwayne?
Yeah, it got to go somewhere,
it's
right?
It's not going to be good.
It has to go
it's
somewhere.
Not going to be good, y'all.
It's not going to be good. I always like to tell my students, and that's pretty much a part, that's a squib load. You know, that's definitely a squib load. And I always tell my students, you know, when you're shooting, you've got to pay attention to your gun. You can't be so zoned in on just the target. You can't be so one-dimensional. That tunnel vision would get you. You have to have both eyes open, or you practice till you can get good enough to have both eyes open so you can still pay attention. But you got to listen to your gun. You got to watch your gun. When that gun goes pop, when it's supposed to go bang, pay attention. Don't just load the next one. Pay attention. Did it do a little puff of smoke? It went pop, but not bang. The reason why guns go bang is not from the ignition of the propellant. It's from that bullet leaving the barrel. So if it goes pop,
right,
that means your bullet separated from the casing, but you didn't hear it go bang, which means it never exited the barrel. That's that big bang you're going to get from the gas hitting the air. So where's that bullet? Like Kia said, it's in the barrel somewhere. So pay very, very close attention. You know, some of the symbols that's on there, Kia, it's on the different lots. It's symbol Q4172. That's one. Then it's symbol red 9. And then there's USA9JHP. And then, oh, it seemed like all of them.
And see, the thing that matters, what's so funny is I had that 200-round box.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's possible I might have had one of them, but, you know, I didn't have any problems with any of my ammo, but, you know, I ran through that 200-round box. But, you know, it's so funny because I do buy Winchester ammunition. So.
Yeah, I do too. Like you said, they're a reputable brand. But
very
it's trying to keep up with the demand. From March 25th till now, that's March, April, May. We're in June, getting ready to go into July in a couple, sometime next week. Yeah, that's 3 months worth of ammo. So those of you that's been buying ammo in the stockpiles, go back, look up go to the Winchester site and just double check to make sure that your box don't fall onto any of these lots. And again, it's just them trying to keep up because there's nothing. It's okay if it goes pop or click when you're at the range, because you're not in the heat of the moment, right? You can adjust, reassess, or assess the situation because all you're doing is shooting the paper target. But if these are rounds that, let me see, none of them are hollow point. But even so, if you're in a state like South Carolina, you can't utilize hollow points anyway. No, some of them are hollow points. So can you imagine if you're utilizing any of this ammo for your self-defense and, you know, your approach and you're left with the decision that you have to utilize deadly force, you draw your firearm, you point it at your threat, and you pull that trigger, and nothing happens. That is a very, very scary. That's a lot scarier than it's going pop at a range. So, folks, check it out, Winchester website, and look up their recalls. It's a pretty important recall. Now onto our regular schedule. Kia, I know this is your part. So I'm going to let you – actually, you know what I'm asking you? So, Kia, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Kia, I noticed that every time you go out, you're always picking up extra water. You know, you're always picking up something extra. You're always buying in bulk. And I see you at a gun store like every other day buying ammo. What's up with that? What are you stockpiling for? What are you preparing for? Are you preparing for a war? I think you're laughing because that's your routine, ain't it? That's why you're laughing? That's your
routine. No.
Okay. What are you preparing for, Kia? Let me know because you look crazy. You look crazy to me that you're buying all this stuff. You know nothing's going to happen. We're in the safest place in the world. I'm going to let you take it from there, Kia. Talk to me.
Okay. Well, I always tell people, you know, I don't say, hey, I'm a prepper, because there's some diehards out there, right? But what I try to do is make sure that myself and my family are prepared for anything. So most people, when they hear prepper, they think, you know, the people that are preparing for the zombie apocalypse, right? Or when the shit hits the fan, right? So. But it's not always about that. You know, like we were talking earlier, what about what happened in Texas? And I bet those people wish they were prepared, right, and had more water, more food, more. How about just having a manual can opener to open food instead of electric? Because if all you have is an electric can opener and you don't have power, then that food is like, you know, you can try to bang into the can, but, you know, you also now you're talking about more safety issues, right? If that can slips and that knife hits you, then now you are in a situation where you have a cut, maybe a deep cut. Then now, is there anyone around that can help you with that cut? Are you putting yourself in danger and you need to be watching out for your family? Is that your trigger finger?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, what is it, you know? So, you know, things like that. Or what I prepare for. My family always laugh at me when I tell them stuff, and they're always like, you know, oh, you're just so crazy. You know, you're always telling us crazy stuff. But, you know, like, even when, you know, COVID first started, you know, with these masks and this stuff, you know, I'm like, hey, I tell my family, I say, hey, you guys, go out and get some N95 masks. That's before we knew what it was, what was going on, all this stuff. I was like, hey, you guys, Target had like a whole display. It was millions of them. And so and my mom was like, oh, my gosh, you know, girl, you are so crazy. Da, da, da. I said, okay. But I picked up, well, luckily we picked up extras. But, you know, it's just little things like that, just being prepared for, you don't know what's going to happen. We're in hurricane season. They're already talking about the first hurricane that's going to, you know, already brewing, you know, and stuff like that. And so are you prepared for those things? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's just the biggest thing for me is just if anything goes wrong, if any kind of emergency goes wrong, do I have what I need in my home to, so that my family, you know, so we can sustain for a few days or up to 2 weeks?
Okay. Well, you know, that does make a lot of sense, right? Because a lot of times, especially us as I'm just going to say how my friends and family call it, we're gun people. Right, us as gun people, when we're
what
saying
kind of
that
people?
We're preparing. I know gun people. We're gun people. That's what my friends and family call. You're a gun person now, Dwayne. You know, went to the stop and you're a gun person. Hey, I'll take it. Whatever you want to label me as, I'm protected. I'm self-protected. Right. Ooh, I like that. I'm a use that. Self-protected. That sounds good. Right. We're self-protected here. But you know, I always get them saying like, "What are you preparing for?" Because automatically they think. You're always preparing for, like you said, excuse my language, you know, for when shit hits the fan. But what does that look like? That looks different for different people. For some families, shit hitting the fan is two people kicking into their door. That's a right now moment. You know, for me, you're preparing for any type of disruption to your everyday norm. Right? That is what preparing really is, any type of disruption. Now, you're preparing for different types of things. You're preparing your mindset to do what you got to do to whether it survive or maintain or sustain, right? Create a checklist, folks, and see who all becomes part of that, I guess, that conversation. Is it just your household? Is it your family that lives about 5 miles away? Are they included in that whole plan? What about the family if it's a big incident? That's going on, I guess, nationwide or a couple different states, or do you and your friends and family have code words? Do y'all know I can just pick up the phone and say Kia, red 9 red, and you're like, all right, on it. You know, and it sounds funny when you say it, but there's people that have prepared to that level, you know, because to them it's all about being ahead for the most part. Do y'all have a safe place that everybody can meet up? What's in that safe place? Is it a place that, you know, that have generators, that has solar panels? Is there food already there? Canned goods? Can you grow your own crops? Something as simple like what you said, Kia, I didn't even think about that. Do you have a manual can opener? That we have one, but I've never thought about it on for preparation. You know, I never thought to think that, hey, in my preparation bag, let me make sure that that's tossed into my bag. But the first things we're always talking about is canned goods, right? I would have never thought about that. So what are some of the things that's on your list? I can tell you right now, the thing that's on my list is water. Water and my firearm. You know, I know those are check, right? But what's something that's on your list?
Medical supplies. Like I keep stocks of, witch hazel, alcohol, bandages, wounds,
okay.
Bleeds, you know, the stuff to stop the bleed, which I told you I'm taking that class. But, you know, things like that, because let's say if there's an accident, you know, and something falls or someone gets hurt, then are you able to, you know, help that person? You know, extra medical supplies. I'm really a naturalist. I don't take medicines, so I don't take Advil, so I don't stock a lot of that stuff. My husband does, but I don't stock a lot of that stuff, but when it comes to, like, natural things, you know, holistic medicines and stuff like that, do you have, you know, your basic things that you need for headaches or – so what about a toothache? You can't go – what if you can't go to the dentist? You know, think about at the beginning of the pandemic for COVID. Like, the dentist offices, they were closed down. So what if you had a really a medical emergency with your tooth? Let's say you had a cyst or something on your tooth. How do you get through that?
Yeah.
So things
that's
like that, just having the right medical supplies. Yeah. Hydrogen peroxide, you know, things like that that you need Now I used to take it a step further and, you know, the fish mocks and all that stuff, but, you know, it's just about what's best for you and what your family's medical needs are. If your child has asthma, you have an extra pump.
Mm. Yeah.
So things like that that everyone should be thinking about.
What about allergies? Do you have that Benadryl for the mild allergy cases, or do you have a extra EpiPens, you know? Little things like that, because you just never know. You're absolutely right. When COVID, the pandemic first started at what, like around March, April-ish?
Yeah, about April, everything was shut down.
Yeah, I had the most ridiculous toothache because my final wisdom tooth was pushing back onto another one of my tooth, and it was ridiculously painful, and I dealt with it for like 2 to 3 months until things finally opened back up and I was able to go get x-rays and do everything. But you're absolutely right. Like, the only way I was able to get through that without jumping off a bridge was I had my extra strength pain meds. You know, what kind of pain meds are you using? Or do you have another big thing? You know, I see it in the movies all the time, and it's stuff that get people in trouble in the movie. Antibiotics. How are we looking with that?
Yeah.
You know, do you have a lot of antibiotics? And, you know, sometimes they, you know, they do have shelf life to them, and you don't want to go, you know, fake an injury to get antibiotics, but should you? You know, that's what my wife and I was talking about. Do we go fake an injury so we can get some antibiotics on hand? Is there a way that we can order low-level or low-dose antibiotics? Like, little things like that. So I agree with you. The medical stuff is definitely important. And it's not even the stuff to stop a major wound. You know, it's the stuff to stop the small wounds that, if left untreated, can turn into life-threatening wounds. Something as simple as a little cut on the leg, you know? A little
right.
cut on the leg can get mm-hmm. infected, you know? And, you know, adding into first aid, I would love to add personal hygiene, the soaps, the deodorants, the shavers, different things like that. Are you utilizing any of that stuff? I think that stuff is very important as well. And toilet paper, you know, pandemic happened and everybody went crazy for toilet paper. went crazy for the toilet paper. Oh, man. Shampoo.
And there's a lot of what you were talking about earlier, Duane, about stocking up. You know, people should really start thinking about, even if you don't use it every day, you want to use your regular antibiotics or whatever your doctor gave you, that's fine. But when you're prepping, yeah. you want to look at some alternatives. You know, Golden Seal is
yeah.
really good if you have a urinary tract infection, or if there's bacteria, if you have, let's say, diarrhea, let's say you drink some bad water or something. You know, so
yeah.
Garlic and cloves, they're really good, you know, things that I keep in my cabinet at all times, you know. So you just have to make sure that even if you can't go to get your prescribed antibiotics, you still want to think that maybe look at some other alternatives. Of course, you have to take more. It's not like you go to a doctor to give you a medicine for antibiotics to take for 2 days. Well, this may take a little longer to heal, but it's going to do it. Honey,
yeah.
natural raw honey, it has a long shelf
yeah.
life. And, you know, honey is, you know, good for fighting off bacteria. So, you know, you just have to think of different things that you can do if you can't, you don't want to lie and go to a doctor, right? But if look at some other things, some other alternatives to those things. Because we're not going to say you're going to do that on this show, not in public.
Don't, I know, don't pay me any attention, all right? I know I was saying, do you? Yep, listen to Key, okay? Don't lie when you go to the doctor, all right? Don't
Sarge
do
is just online. We were going to pick, Sarge, if you still listen, we were going to pick you up. So call back. I know,
oh, yeah,
sorry,
was
I was
online.
About to pick Sarge.
Sarge is online early. But
yeah,
no,
I think one
I
of them.
Definitely... No, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was supposed to go ahead.
No, saying no. To tie back to what you said. No, the natural holistic stuff is very, very good as well. I would highly recommend that. I like the fact that you put that out there because, you know, if we're ever in a situation to where we're stuck without lights, we're stuck without power, right? I mean, I just say lights, but we're stuck without power. What are you doing to naturally take care of yourself? Because that's what it's going to eventually come down to, right? Do you know how to grow food? You know, Do you know how to do the basic things of, you know, go out and hunt if you're in one of those areas that where they do have wildlife? Do you know how to prepare food? You know, because someone like me who's very ignorant to hunting, I've been in Virginia now going on 12 years pretty soon, but I've never been hunting before. You know, when it comes down to me calling myself a straight city boy from Brooklyn, New York, I'm going to hold that to my heart when it comes down to hunting. But, you know, a lot of times we see it as simple as you shoot an animal or kill an animal, you skin them and you eat it. It's not that simple. You know, there's certain parts you shouldn't eat. There's a certain way you got to clean them to make sure that you're not digesting bacteria. So that digested bacteria, based on the animal, can be very, very, very deadly. So I like the fact that you did say, you know, the natural stuff definitely helps because you're not going to always be able to get antibiotics. And, again, antibiotics have a shelf life, right? And some of them are not that long. The longer they're on the shelf, the weaker they become. So using things like honey and other stuff that she was saying would definitely come in handy. Now, food with shelf life. You know, I'm thinking stuff like rice, pasta, beans, maybe some, I don't know, canned fruits, okay, just canned goods. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, of course, and because they have longer shelf life, and of course, it doesn't matter if you're, it's not depending on whether or not your power is on or not. So, you know, definitely you want to keep your canned goods on hand. And, you know, and then the one thing that I always notice that people do is they buy things they don't eat.
Yeah.
Make sure you buy things that you actually are going to eat. Because if something, let's say in a natural disaster or something where you're out without power, I think here in North Carolina, we had Hurricane Fran. People were out of power for like 2 weeks. The last thing you want to do is open up your cabinet and see some black beans. Oh, well, I love black beans. So I hate black eyed peas. Let's say all I had in my cabinet was a bunch of black eyed peas. I would be not only depressed from the fact that I have no power, but I would be depressed from having to eat black eyed peas for two, you know, because that's what I had. Like, you just have to really, you know, buy things that you're going to actually eat and use. So.
Yeah, I could second that because I'll be so mad if I open up the fridge and all I have is pickles. I hate pickles and tomatoes. Don't let me open the fridge and there's nothing but pickles and tomatoes. I'll starve. Make sure that you buy foods that you're definitely going to enjoy eating. And also the food that you can easily rotate. You know, maybe today you eat one thing and then tomorrow you can eat another one. You know, it'll give you some sense, sense of normalcy, if that's a word. I think I just made up a word. I'm going to go with it. I'm keeping it. You know, so stuff like that. So, what about shelter? Well, what do you think about shelter? Do you stay in place? Do you do what people say and bug out and you and some friends and some family have a safe location? If you do, at what point do you leave to head to that safe location? You know, for those of us, for some people that was watching what was happening in D.C. when they, I guess, stormed the Capitol building. I'm doing air quotes right now when I say that. For some people, that could have been a trigger. Like, hey, it looks like some stuff is about to go down. We need to leave. So when do you leave? Do you set a time? Or what do you think around, you know, having a safe location that's not your current home? When would you say you leave?
Well, it depends. A lot of people that bug out are in the city. I'm not in the city. So I think I might have a little bit of an advantage. When it comes to that, you know, my husband and I, we talk about it a lot. Like, I'm always talking about different things. So he, you know, sometimes he gives me the funny looks, but we've already decided, you know, determined that, you know, we would stay in place unless it was a situation where this area was dangerous. You know, like, let's say if it flooded, exactly. Of course we would have to leave. and we've actually been through a flood, during Hurricane Matthew, where a rescue boat came to get us out of the house. So we've been through that. But, you know, unless it was unsafe for us to be here, we will be at home. And we have, you know, necessary things set up to make sure that we're safe and prepared in here.
Okay. See, I like that. See, I guess I'm considered, I consider myself in a city, but not like a city like Richmond or New York or nothing like that. There's no big buildings around here, but we're not too far. I personally would feel my neighbors are stone throw away from me. I would prefer a lot more space. So for us, we are working on a bug out location, you know, and that's just us. You know, we something that's deep in the country. That way, once we get there, we're by ourselves. Sorry, folks, not going to share that location with y'all. I don't know y'all, so y'all don't get in that location. But I do recommend, you know, guys, do your homework. Don't just look at people like myself, Kia, Elliot, or just your neighbors. And when you see them, you know, when you see them preparing, you're just like, oh, look at such and such preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Guess what? It's better to have and not want, or how does the saying go, than want and not have, something like that. If
right.
the zombie apocalypse do hit, guess who don't have something? You do. You don't. So don't judge these folks. Don't judge us, all right? So now when it comes down to protection, what are you having with you? Because I know you're going to hear, or I've heard it before, well, Dwayne, you're not going to take all your guns. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm taking all of them if I have to leave. But the reality is, I'm like, I'm taking my entire safe. It's on wheels, or I'm going to make it out the door. You know, I have a stockpile of ammo, and I'm pretty sure you do too. They're like, you're not going to take all your ammo. In my mind, I'm like, no, I am. I'm taking every single round, every caliber, every gun. But is that realistic? To me, I don't think it really is, just being honest. But what about you? What are you taking if you do have to leave from the comfort of your location? You do have to bug out. Because if you're home, you're good. If you're home, they're coming to you.
Right.
You can protect, you can self-protect. You're good, but what are you taking if you have to bug out?
If we have to bug out and it's a situation where it's like a natural disaster or something like that, you know, it's like putting things up. If it's a flood, let's just say flooding, you know, putting things up in area in places where it can be retrieved later, and just take as much as we possibly can, but would not, you know, of course we can't take everything. And then people, a lot of people don't realize that your dishwasher is waterproof. So if mm-hmm. it's a situation where things are like it's a water-related issue or a hurricane-related issue or something of that nature, and also if you can, a lot of people don't have the old dishwasher where you can lock it, but, you know,
yeah.
like mine, you have to turn it on for it to the lock. But, you know, if you ever need a place to store things that's waterproof, look at your dishwasher or the things you have around your home that you know can survive a storm. If it's a situation where it's a storm or something like that, you have to evacuate. Look at the areas where you can come back and retrieve those things later, and then just take with you what you can. I think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to take everything, but just take as much as you can.
You know, that is great information, because I did not know that. Well, that makes sense, right, about the dishwasher. Like, that makes tons of sense, Dwayne, duh, right? I'm pretty sure. I'm going to say some of y'all listeners out there didn't even know that either. So y'all might be judging me like, oh, my God, Dwayne, you didn't know that? No, you didn't know it either until she just said it. I did not realize that the dishwasher, it is waterproof. Like, it makes sense because the water
can't get
in. Yeah, because
the water can't get in, the water can't get out either. Yep.
And that is the best place to hide things, because that's the last place anyone breaking into your house is going to look to is the dishwasher.
Well, not
so
now.
Folks, that's where. Oh, right. I know. We just shared it. We just shared it, right? no, that's genius. That's a good place. You know, all your important documents, like you said, you can't take. Maybe that family. Well, important documents you should always have ready to grab, just in case you need a passport or your ID. To maneuver, you may not be able to come back home until a lot, you know, much later. But, you know, those precious family heirlooms that you hope to recover later on, toss them in the dishwasher. Man, kid, thank you. What about the refrigerator? That's waterproof? I don't think so, right? No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, but you, like I have a front loaded washer, and it water may back into it a little bit, but it's pretty much it's waterproof as well. Think about it. When your clothes wash, water doesn't leak.
Yeah, nothing comes out. I love it. Ooh, you know, Kia, this is awesome to know. Huh. Okay. I'm learning a lot today. So give me five things. You're bugging out. You got to leave. Alarm goes off, and it's just you. Your husband, your baby, they already know where to go. What are you grabbing? Five essential things. What are they?
We have a little mini space that has, like, a birth certificate, car titles, things like that that we keep. I'll grab that,
okay.
It's portable. And, of course, guns. I keep ammunition in my bag, so my little case.
You
so we
get
have
one gun.
Other
What's
guns,
the one
ammunition.
Gun that you're going with? You got one gun.
Well, the everyday carry is coming. You know, I mean, that's just
okay.
going to come.
Okay.
Ammunition. Let's see, what's that? That's two things, right?
Yes.
You know, food, like maybe some. The people probably gonna laugh, and I don't want anybody to think I'm crazy, but I do have MREs.
So what's an MRE? Because I know what it is, but for those listeners, that's like, what the hell is that? What's an MRE?
A meal ready to eat.
Okay.
Meals ready to eat. But basically,
okay.
They can be freeze dried. Some of them are, you know, dehydrated. It's just it's packaged in a way that it's self contained, so you can just open it and eat it without having to heat it up or anything like that.
Okay, nice. Okay.
So I grab the bag with the MREs in it. I keep water in the car, you know, stuff like that. So it's like little things that you keep. A lot of things I keep in the car. And so
okay.
like water and drinks and stuff like that I keep in the car all the time. So blanket, you know, things like that, you know, so we have something to do. Because the last thing you want to do is just your mind goes 100 different directions depending on what's going on. So people see neglect in their bags and in their preparation to bring a board game, you know, something that will bring some normalcy to things that are going on. So a board game,
yeah.
a book, a deck of cards, something like that that can entertain you for a little while. Just take your mind off things for a little while.
Okay. Okay, see? Like it. That's simple, to the point you grab and go. You know, I can tell that you're a mom, too, because the first thing you say, not even a mom, you're a responsible adult. The first thing you said you're grabbing is the safe. That was not even on my list. Right? I didn't even make
the
my
what?
List. The safe with the birth certificates and everything, that did not even make my
oh,
list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we keep it in a little
so
mini safe, so it's easy to grab.
Yeah. Oh, man, and we have a little mini safe as well with all that stuff in there, but I'm pretty sure my wife, that was definitely on her list. But for me, I'm like, I got my ID. I think everybody else should have their ID. We're good. For me, I'm definitely. I think I'm definitely grabbing my gun for sure. I'm probably gonna grab my AR because if I have to leave my home, that means I don't count my conceal. Conceal is always on, so that don't count. But I'm grabbing my AR with my emergency magazines ready to go. I think my emergency magazines give me about probably 300 rounds. So hopefully I don't need anything more than that. You know, one shot at a time, make it count. And then I'm going to grab my med pack. I have an emergency med pack that I take out to the range. I'm going to definitely grab that. That's going to have all my important bandages, a tourniquet. It's going to have wound seals and all that good stuff. And some Neosporin, too. I forgot to mention that. Neosporin and the ointment, those things are very important, good for cuts.
Yeah.
So that's all going to be in my med bag. Then I got to make sure I have my knife on me, you know. And I'm going real offensive right now. I haven't even talked about food yet, but I'm going real offensive. I'm going to make sure I have a nice multi-purpose, like, knife-ish, you know, nothing too huge. I'm not talking about nothing that cut down branches or nothing like that, but that's a nice multi-purpose knife. And my AR has a flashlight, so I'm going to be flagging the hell out of anybody if I'm using my flashlight. I'm okay with that. So that's three things. I'm grabbing some food. I'm creating this right now because we don't have it yet, but that emergency bag of canned goods, I'm going to grab that. We have canned goods, but they're not ready to go, so I'm going to create that. And And in my car, I have water in my car. And I don't know, I'm thinking the last thing I'm probably tossing is probably some batteries. You know, you can always use a good thing of batteries, you know. Or extra clothes. I'll probably say that. A bag of, like, 3 extra shirts, 2 extra pair of pants, and probably, like, some socks, because socks is definitely, that's where you start to get warm from your feet. So I'll probably do a bag of extra clothes versus that battery. You can find batteries, hopefully. But and that's my little quick bug out bag if I have to run in the house and grab anything. So who are you taking with you, Kia? You're like, I can't say this now. We're not going to name any names or anything like that. But unless you just want to go straight out, call out people, I'm down with that. You're like, you know what, Jillian, you are not coming. I'm not even looking for you. You figure it out, Jillian. Todd, you're over there. I'm not coming for you at all. You figure it out. You question all the ammo is buying. People tagging along. Let me not say who you're not taking with you. You have those naysayers. It's like, no, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? How are you doing it? Blah, 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 blah. Now, shit's hit the fan. Kia and her family's all good. You get a phone call. Hey, Kia, you know, you were right. I made fun of you. Can I join you? What do you say? Your honest thing. What do you say?
Depending on who it is. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, one thing I laughed about earlier when you said something about people looking at you prepping, like no one even notices when I do it. Because you just buy a little bit, the little thing, a little bit at a time. You don't go in there and just go buy 25, 50 bags of sugar, right? So you just go in and you know, you just add an extra bag of, you know, extra 25-pound bag or something to your grocery list. And then you stock it, like, you know, things like that. So it's not like anyone ever really notices. But the people who know me the best and know that I do, you know, I do that, not so much as I used to, but I still, you know, keep extra things on hand. But it's like my family knows, hey, you don't listen. If you don't listen to me, right, and you need to come here, you have to bring whatever you have. So yeah. You can't come here and show up empty-handed. It would definitely be family. It was so funny. My husband and I love apocalyptic movies. That's like one of my favorite movies to watch because it just makes you think. And like I was telling him, I said, you know, you can drink the water out of the back of the toilet if you really need, you're really, really thirsty. And he was like, yeah. I was like, I would never have thought about that, you know. But it's like the first thing I would tell any family members is, hey, bring what you have. And I don't have, I'm, you know, I keep extra blankets, towels, stuff like that, but bring your own. You know, bring whatever you have in your cupboard, in your cabinets, at your refrigerator. You know, bring those things with you so that, you know, you won't be, like, burdening us. You know, not burden so much. I know it sounds ugly, but, you know, bring what you can contribute. Because what people don't realize is that all around the United States, I'm in some groups that all around the United States, there are communities that are being formed that are already ready. They're all bringing their skills and their and things to these communities, and they're self-contained communities. And so it's like anytime you're going to have someone join your group, they need to have something they can bring to the table. Otherwise, you're going to be draining resources, and that's just the real reality of it, you know? You don't need anyone during a situation like that to drain resource.
You know, that's so much better than what I was saying. I was like, hell no, you can't come. You know, folks, be mature, do it the right way. This is the kid. You know, if you're gonna start, you know, telling those naysayers, hey, come on, join me. Don't just say, come on, freeload. You know, you don't want to do that because you've taken the time and you calculated and, you know, you prepared. And to bring somebody into that actually decreases your rations, you know. Make sure that they bring something to the table, you know, because me, kid, that's such a great answer because I was like, nope, you're not allowed to come. We weren't cool before. We're not cool now. So
you went to it to your sister or, you know, or your best friend or something like that.
Those people are part of my you know, earlier I was saying, you know, about it's about creating plan, you know. So for me, I already have people that's included in my plan. So God forbid,
okay.
I'm trying to find some wood now. You know, if anything happened, we've already started the community. We haven't locked anything down saying this is what you do, this is what you do. But so far the people that's in, you know, my wife and I's life that we're including in our go plan, they kind of know about it already. They all play a role. You know, we have us that, you know, on my side of the family, my sister, she's an educator. You know, my wife, she's a financial person. Me, I'm the gun person. You know, and we break it down in, you know, the doctor, the this, the that, and that is our community that we're slowly forming. That way, in case we ever do have to bug out, guess what? You pick up that phone, hey, you ready to go, and we're good to go. And, of course, there's people that watch with a curious eye and probably don't really understand it, but they don't judge. You know, the ones that I would say I'm not bringing into my circle are the ones that can be toxic, that when they join, they're bringing all that toxic energy, and their whole goal is to tear down from the inside out. So those folks, you're not allowed to be part of my community if, you know, shit hits the fan. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Not allowed to be part of the community.
Let me ask you a question. I got a question for you, Dwayne.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens if you can't, if the phone lines are down? How do you get in touch with your family?
That's a really good one. You know, I don't know. You know, maybe walkie-talkies. You know, maybe I got a couple walkie-talkies. That's something that we haven't added to our bag yet. You know, do I not transmit via radio? I'm not too sure. That's a really good question. Because we're so dependent on the phone for everything, right? We're dependent on the phone to tell us how to stay alive. Google, tell me how to stay alive. Right? Google, call my wife. Google, call my friend. Google, call Kia. You know, Google, turn on the flashlight. We're so dependent on our phone to do everything. Google, tell me the latest news that as soon as the network goes down, we're like, shoot. You know, so what do you do? What are you taking out your crate, you know, your vault of preparedness if those phone lines go down?
Well, the thing is just making sure that everyone is aware of what to do. So if there's a situation where, okay, we can't communicate, then this is plan B. So it's like, yep. Hey, if we can't communicate, then everybody should be in this spot within a certain period of time, or this is where we'll be, you know, things like that. So it's just having that plan to know that, hey, if I can't communicate with you, this is where we'll be. And a lot of people don't realize that some apps you can put on the phone that does not require the cellular phone lines. And people, it's like, do research, really. If you really want to get into this stuff, it's some amazing things out here. There's some things you can put on your phone that you can't talk, but you can send messages and things like that. So then I started to take I think it may be 10 years ago, I started taking a ham radio class where you learn to do the Morse code on the ham radio and, you know, stuff like that. But then the other person has to have a radio as well. But then you think about it, you'll be able to communicate with other people in the area to have them. But it's like my neighbors, we were all outside laughing when the pandemic first started last year. We were all outside laughing, and we were like, we got this. I live in the country, so we're like, hey, we got this little highway, edge of the highway, we got this on lock. So don't think just in your household. Try to talk to your neighbors. There are communities that have disaster preparedness committees, and they had things already set up down to if it becomes a situation, let's say like a Walking Dead situation where you got to rope off your community and stuff like that, you know, you can go as far as that, or you can just talk about, hey, if things happen, this is what we're going to do. Like my neighbors, we have like a plan. Like if things go really bad and it becomes a situation where it's a dangerous situation, we know it will take people a little while to get out here to the country, but we already have a plan that if that happens, based on where our house is positioned, what we're going to be doing. So you should be talking to your neighbors as well, if you have neighbors that are cool.
Yeah, I like that too. I absolutely like that. You know, a lot of times we just like myself, we keep it within the little, you know, your little circle. But I do like the fact that expanding it out to kind of get the resources, because that's what it comes down to, right, is getting the resources and being able to leverage yours for theirs, and maybe not leverage yours for theirs, but maybe combining them, because combined, we're even stronger as a community. You know, I like this. I like that a lot. You know, I've learned a lot of stuff when it comes down to preparedness. I can tell you right now, we're nowhere near as prepared as I would like to be within my household. When it comes down to the firearms, oh, yeah, we got that on lock. I have that on lock for us. But when it comes down to the little things like the MREs, you know, the being able to grab a bag and go, we're not ready. And that's what I'm going to challenge our listeners to is, folks, create a bag, create a plan. And like Kia just said, create a backup plan as well. Backup plans are important, man, because a lot of times, you know, every time in the movies, that original plan never goes as planned, right? They always got a false makeshift backup plan, and that's where everything goes crazy.
Right.
But if you have a backup plan, granted that would have worked out. And I would say practice, too. Your main plan, practice. If you have a place that everybody's going to meet up, maybe you meet up there once a month, once every 2 months, and make sure that it stopped, you know. Maybe you have somebody go out there once every other week, one of your friends or one person from the circle go out there once a week to make sure that whatever food you have isn't spoiled, throw out the old stuff, stock new stuff or whatever, you know, maintain that safe haven per se. You know, so definitely practice your bug out, you know, practice your bug out and make sure that the items in your bug out bag definitely aren't spoiled. Make sure you're doing your research, because if you had a bug-out bag full of Winchester ammo, you kind of asked out now. Now you got a bunch of ammo you can't really shoot, or you can't really put your life on, you know, depend your life on it. What else do you got for our listeners when it comes to bug-out? You know, what about something as simple as transportation? What are you bugging out in if you got to leave? Are you in a car? Are you in an SUV? Or do you keep your tank on full all the time in preparation of God forbid something happen? Or are you like me where if I'm on my way home, it's a long night and my car is screaming at me, say, hey, I'm low fuel. I'm just like, you're not really under the line yet. You're like right at the line, so I can at least make it home, get up in the morning and fill up. If anything happened in the middle of the night, I'm kinda out of luck, because I can't just get in my car and take off. You know, we had that gas crisis, and I'm air quoting, that gas shortage sometime last month where, thank God, I filled up my tank. You know, shout out to my sister that said, hey, go fill up your tank. But I already had a full tank. If I didn't, and I would have went that morning, I wouldn't have been able to get no gas. So what about you? Where do you keep your vehicle? Is it ready for you to get in your car and be able to take all this stuff head on, or is that something that you're working on as well?
It's just, I try to always keep my gas at half a tank or more. I do try my best to keep it, you know, above half a tank at least. And I know how far my car will get me on half a tank. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like knowing your vehicle as well, because I know, too, that after my gas light comes on, I know how far I can get as well. So, you know, you just got to test those things out and see, you know, what the best option is for you. And when you were talking about a gas shortage, it was so funny because we never ran out of gas here in the country. It's like we had plenty of gas. Someone was acting the fool or anything like that. And it was just like, you know, la, 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 da, 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 da. But what I did do was I made sure I fill up my gas tank before I left town, because I go to Raleigh a lot, and when I was in Raleigh, there was no gas. So, you know,
yeah.
Just little things like that you just realize that, hey, maybe you don't have a problem, but where you're going to or where you're going through may not have what you need. So.
Yeah. Okay. See, I like that too. Definitely like that as well. Because I'll tell you right now, we definitely had a little gas issue here, and it was more people panic buying. But if you prepare the powers that be can't force you to panic buy. Because it's a crazy cycle, circle. Me and you were talking about this early before the show started. And you hit a point right on the head. Folks, he has told me that it's not the crisis that, you know, that is where people die or get hurt or whatever. It tends to be the craziness of people that want what you have. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what do you mean by that when you say people that want what you have?
Well, again, I'm an apocalyptic. I love watching movies like that. But one thing that I always see in common is, like, one thing that I always notice in each of the shows is that it's not the zombies, right? It's not the other thing, whatever the situation is, that's the problem. It is the people who are not prepared, who want to take from the people that do that either have a little bit or that are prepared. And, I look at stuff like that, and I don't believe that things like that are by chance. If you just look at the way people reacted and acted during this pandemic, there were people shooting other people because of toilet paper, or shoot other people because of masks, or shoot other people because of stupid stuff. So you can only imagine if things really did go, like if it was really, really, really bad where we didn't have electricity or power for weeks at a time, can you imagine how people would act toward each other? There wouldn't be any, I wouldn't trust anyone except for the people that I know I could trust. So as far as, like, what you were talking about, you know, preparing for other people, it's like if we hadn't already had this conversation, we're not home as far as I'm concerned. You know, I don't care, child, otherwise. And I hate to sound like that, but it's like I think maybe I watched many movies, but it's the truth.
No, you definitely hit on the head. Like you definitely hit on the head. I'm glad you definitely elaborated on that, because it's not the flood that's going to kill you. You know, you see the water coming, you get out of the way, right? You get a little bit of forewarning that, hey, there's a hurricane, you can prepare for that. It's that group of people, that neighbor that's five houses away that doesn't have power, and guess what? They see your lights on. And they're like, they have the lights on. That means they're warm, and they got food. And they have two little babies of their own. They don't know you, so they don't know to come and say, hey, knock the door, hey, my power's out and I got two little babies, can you spare anything? No, some people don't even want what you can spare. They want what you have all the way. They just want it. They're like, nope, you don't deserve it, I deserve it. Let's go to war for it. And next thing you know, that's where it comes down to that being able to defend yourself comes into play. So,
right,
being what you said, where you know someone's gonna want what you have. Do you hide it? Do you move in secrecy, or what does that look like? You know, I like to tell my students, or you know, my friends and family that we're building a circle with. People get prepared mentally, because you know you can get. We already talked about the items you can get. That's stuff you can pick up, you know, but are you mentally prepared for what's about to happen? Are you mentally prepared to defend yourself over a roll of toilet paper? Not argue, not fight, not push or scream, but are you mentally prepared that you may have to take someone's life over a bottle of water? What do you think about that? Where do you think someone's mental state have to be when it comes down to being prepared?
I guess it's the same thing that if you have to take someone's life in self-defense. You have to be mentally prepared to do all of those things. It's going to be, you know, if you're defending your family and you have to take someone's life, are you mentally prepared to do that? So it's just a matter of just being in the right mental state, so to speak, so that you, I guess it's like all those things play a part. You know what I'm saying? When you are talking about survival, it's survival, either survival because it's your life or your family's life, or survival because I got to eat and my family has to eat, you know? So it's just a matter of the same mental training you go through when you are preparing yourself in a self-defense scenario is the same mental state you're going to have when you're preparing yourself to defend yourself and your family and your items, right?
Yeah.
Against someone in a situation where you have to be prepared. And there's no other good. There's no running back out to the store to get it, right? The one thing I was taught was being able to barter. So have things you can barter with. Liquor is a good bartering.
That's a lost art.
Of course.
Like, that is something we don't do in our community at all, is barter. The barter system, bring that back. Hashtag bring back barter. Call guests, listeners, 845-241-9979. Call us in and let us know what you got to barter with us. I got some cool stuff. Maybe I can, let's see what we can trade. But go ahead, Kia.
Yeah, it's like people don't think about, hey, I'm not going to kill you over this toilet paper. What do you have? What do you have that you can trade me for this toilet paper? Do you have sugar? Do you have flour? Because people don't understand, you can take sugar and flour, self-rising flour and sugar, and you can make a sweet little cake that'll just sustain you. You won't be hungry, right? So you have flour.
Yeah.
Do you have sugar? Do you have eggs? Do you have chickens? Do you have, what can you give me for this toilet paper? Do you have mason jars of liquor? It's like, it was so funny. I'm in a group, and they asked, what are you bartering with? People were, saying all kinds of stuff. Like, people were even saying, marijuana, right? So it's like things, I'm not condoning that, you guys. I'm just saying, things that people may want, maybe things that you have, you keep, you may have to barter with, during situations where, look, okay, you don't have to take this, you don't have to take it from me. Or if you want to be, giving to people, right, at least get something back in return. But if in situations like that, you have to be very careful. So, be mindful and be careful depending on how bad things are, because a lot of people are just not aware that you need cash, so that if the stores, let's say the stores may be open, but they can't run your credit card. So if they have that, they have those oodle noodles you want, then if you have a dollar, as opposed to trying to give your card, but you have a dollar, then they'll give you those oodle noodles for that dollar, right? But if you only have your card, then you're in trouble. So little things like that, but I mean.
No, that makes sense. But you just hit on something too that I didn't even think about. Do you run to the bank and take out all your cash? What do you do with cash? Cash is king, right? When shit hits the fan and the civilization is falling, whatever, cash is king. Nobody wants to hear. At that point, everybody's going to have a great credit score because there's no way to verify. I can be like, listen, I have a 850 credit score. I'm good for it. Let me get that, and I'll pay you back when the power goes back on. So are you running to the bank, and are you withdrawing all your cash and having all your cash on you? Or are you leaving it in the bank and
just letting
it be? So which
Absolutely
one are you
not.
Doing?
That's silly. I'm not going to go into everything I'm doing, but, you should always have a way to have access to cash. Dwayne, come on.
I know. You should always have access to them. Gotcha. Folks, you see what she's doing, though, right? Because there's different ways to prepare. There's different ways to prepare. There's preparing for – not different ways. There's different levels of preparation. And there's the part that people don't mind sharing. Hey, get your can good, get you this. But there's also that part that we're not going to share, where we're going to go, where we do have to bug out, what we're going to be using as means for bartering, whether it's cash or gold or whatever. So, folks, get right. Get yourself together. Stop judging us and get prepared. Stop thinking so small, or maybe we got to think small. That's what it is. Start small. Are you prepared for if the lights went out right now? Even if the lights went out for 5 hours, are you prepared for if the lights went out right now? What does that look like? Do you have candle? Do you have flashlights? Do you have batteries? I'm pretty sure in all the – this might sound bad, right? But growing up, I guess, in the hood, we have tons of flashlights. We have tons of batteries. Batteries don't work. So we always changing our battery to see which one is going to have a little bit more juice than mixing the old batteries with the new battery. We got to stop that as well. I'm still guilty of doing that a little bit. My daughter, she's a battery hoarder. She loves her some batteries, new or old. My baby's weird. She just loves batteries, but I think she's on to something because she also makes the most money in our household, I feel. she'll sell you a battery in a heartbeat. So that's going to be her, the way to barter, how she's going to, that's going to be her bartering item. But, you know, start preparing small. If your power went out right now, what are you doing? Can you hunker down in your house for the next 5 hours until they turn it back on? Or are you going to get in your car and go to a hotel? If you can get in your car and go to a hotel, that means you have that capital that allows you to do so. We got a caller. I see all one Kia. I know this is Sarge. Have we asked him why his number is all ones yet?
Not yet.
He probably
does.
No.
That's incognito. Leave him alone. That's incognito. Go ahead and answer his line.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Sorry. I just can't get away with nothing with you guys. You got me choked out. I must be in a rut.
Oh, Sarge, what's going on? We're having a serious conversation tonight, Sarge. We're talking about preparing. Are you prepared, Sarge? Are you prepared, sir?
Oh, sir, you ought to see how much the water I got stored. I think that's probably one of the critical elements, safe, potable water. And
yep.
I got about, at any one time, I keep about 20 cases of, you know, the 16-ounce bottles of water on a pallet in my basement. I always keep at least that much. And then I cycle them every couple of months and get more.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And I also have some MREs and a lot of canned food, nuts, berries. I got lots of mason jars.
Like
I know how to do the mason jar planting. I raise chickens, and I got chickens. I got my own chickens. I got chickens that lay eggs.
Yeah.
They lay eggs.
Yeah.
I got Rhode Island Reds, by the way. Those are my favorites.
Well, we have Buff Orpington. We have Buff Orpington.
Ruby. I got a chicken named Ruby who aspires to be more than a chicken. She follows me around like a puppy. Whenever I work on a car outside, she comes over and sits down on me. She tries to communicate with me, and she's a great egg layer. And I will never put her in a pot. She's going to live out a natural life.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So, Sarge, what is the one thing besides the water? What else? What is another thing that you feel like is really important when it comes to, like, if we ever go back to a system where we have to barter? What do you think is one something that's very important you should have in your stash that you can barter with?
Oh, well, we know ammunition will be a currency. If you're talking about a zombie end of the world as we know it scenario, yeah, that's definitely going to be just like currency. And I've gotten a lot of that in popular calibers. A lot of it in popular calibers that are easy to barter for. Also, as you point out, medical supplies will be very valuable as well. Anything that could be used to make shelter or improvise shelter is also going to, because you think, what are the basics? Food, clothing, and shelter. There you go,
yep.
Right there. Whatever you need to deal with those three essentials is what's going to be most valuable. Food, clothing, and shelter. So you organize your scenarios around what you're going to need to get those essentials going, and then you figure out what is going to be most valuable that can also be used as currency. And I tell you another thing that is very valuable as currency is skills. If you have skills to trade, you will be in demand. If you know how to woodwork in particular, you will be in demand. If you know how to work with metal or how to forge metal or how to create a steel from iron ore, coal, charcoal, how to make things with a mold, those skills will be extremely valuable. So, I've taught myself all of those skills.
So, Sarge, and funny you should say that because, again, I'm a movie buff, right? So when it comes to, like, even The Walking Dead, you notice that they wouldn't kill Eugene because he knew how to make ammunition, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're right, because then you become a commodity if you have a skill that everybody needs.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
by the way, I would recommend, because actually one of the most difficult things to getting modern cartridges was developing a metallic cartridge that was reliable. That took longer, actually, than the technology to make the firearm. The ability, particularly, to spin accurately. Accurate cartridge cases made out of a material that would obturate and seal the breech at the moment of firing. It really took them a long time to figure that out. So, to get around it in an absolute last-ditch situation, you need to understand how to make black powder or how to get black powder and use a muzzle-loading firearm. Because
right.
Black powder is always going to be able to make. You can always form lead balls out of lead. And you will never be out of ammunition if you know how to cast lead balls, use black powder, and because you could prime your gun with black powder in a flash pan.
That's yeah. right.
So you might
yeah.
want to familiarize yourself with black powder firearms, how to use them and how to make use of them, as well as basic reloading, because cases, you know, they're always going to be, you'll probably always be able to get cases if you have bullets, and bullets you can make out of many things. You can cast your own bullets. They may not be as good as full metal jacket, but you can at least cast lead ones. The hardest thing is primers, because primers are difficult to manufacture. That's
right.
where you kind of need, you know, a way to make. But if you got a storehouse of them, primers don't take that much space. And if you got a reloading press, you can reload your own ammo. So you need powder,
yeah.
you need smokeless powder, you need primer, a way to cast bullets or a stockpile of bullets, and a bunch of cartridge cases, empty cartridge cases that you can trim, resize, re-reload, prime, and put another projectile in. Or, better yet, learn how to work with black powder muzzle-loading firearms.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually one of the things on my list is getting me my first muzzle-loader. Have you ever did muzzle-loading up here?
Oh, yeah. I've got a cap and ball revolver and a Brown Vest musket.
Ah, nice, nice.
Huh.
So, yeah,
I don't
know.
That.
Now, you know.
Got the musket. Yeah, I've never reloaded before, so I would
it's
love to.
It's smooth bore musket. The smooth bore. That's the problem with it. The ball goes rattling down the barrels to get shot. You know, that's why those things weren't considered accurate much beyond 50 yards. 50 to 90 yards is pretty much the max you can likely hit a point target. But inside of that, they're pretty decent. And then you got shotguns. You got buck and ball. You can shoot. I don't know if you ever heard of buck and ball.
No,
but that
I've never
increases
heard of buck
your
and ball.
Likelihood of hitting a target, a hunting target at close range.
Okay.
Huh.
Now,
what
so,
about,
you know, you can fire them out of them, too. And don't forget, blunderbusses make great shotguns, too. If you know what a blunderbuss is.
I was just about to ask you about a blunderbuss, too, because the gun store here near my house, they actually have a blunderbuss in there for sale. Ridiculously
yeah.
priced, but they definitely have one. What about bow and arrows? Because no one ever talks about bow and arrows. Well, no one
yeah,
watches it.
Yeah, you know, but
arrows,
arrows are also difficult to make well. I mean, really accurate arrows. So if you
yeah.
run out of, if you got commercially made, of course, they're great aerodynamically. They're wonderful. But if you got to make your own, you really got to be skilled to put, you know, flick the arrows and make. I mean, I know about it. I think I could do it if I had to. I prefer not to. But yeah, bow and arrows are very useful. And I would not discount them. No, absolutely not. I think bow and arrows are an excellent alternative to firearms.
Okay. Now, what
the
about your
The main thing is
to
get
choice.
As many skills as you can get. The more skills you got, the better. The more you can think of doing without, just go back to the 18th century, the way people did things in the 18th century. You'd be surprised
yeah.
at how technologically advanced they were in many things. We're not talking about ancient history, secrets long locked away. This was the way people routinely lived, and most people lived in rural areas and had all
yeah.
these basic survival skills.
And you
yeah,
know what's
and
funny?
And
I'm sorry, I have a book called Back to Basics. And I people laugh when they come in and look at my bookshelf and they see it. But then when they start reading it, I notice they never put it down. And it's called Back to Basics. It basically will tell you how to do everything they did back in the day. Because remember, our great-great-grandparents, they didn't have a refrigerator, right? They didn't have refrigerators.
No.
They didn't have, you know, they had to build. And this Back to Basics book, I bought it. It's a Reader's Digest. The thing is falling apart. It's so old. But the thing is, it tells you, I mean, how to brace trenches, how to lay your groundwork for your the set stakes, corner stakes. It tells you how to lay rebarb, how to rough in your walls for your foundation. I mean, it tells you how to run electricity, how to use a windmill, how to use, water for power. I mean, it is so unbelievable. If I could tell you, anybody who's just interested in just looking at how you can, if really things go back to just nothing, right? This, if you have this book, you'll survive. And, you know, basically it's called Back to Basics. And it's by Reader's Digest, and it just says learn how to learn and enjoy traditional American skills. And these are skills that were taught, you know, right down to how to farm on a small piece of land and survive and have family, you know, food for your families and everything, how to prepare for the winters and things like that. So that it's a really good book. I just keep it on my shelf all the time. And every now and then I'll thumb through it because it's really interesting to read. And when people come over and they read and they see it on my shelf and they grab it, they're like, what is this? And they start laughing. But like I said, they never put it down. And I've even had people ask to borrow it, and I had to get it back.
I know. I was very grateful to the Army and Ranger School for teaching me a lot of these basics. And I've just expanded on them ever since. And like I said, you know, I enjoy raising the chickens. They're fascinating animals to watch, you know. And
they're definitely fascinating.
I mean, they're really interesting to watch, watching their little structure and their pecking order and everything else. And, they're a little hassle. You know, they make a mess. But you can use the mess to help grow your tomatoes. And I'm growing tomatoes and corn and a little plot. Because I got 3 acres, 3/4 of an acre of land around my house. So I got enough room to do it. So, you know, I use the chicken waste for compost to help grow the plants.
Oh, yeah.
And chicken,
yeah.
Chicken waste, excellent manure and fertilizer. Really good.
Mm.
Yeah.
So,
people
you know,
buy
they
it
serve
from
a purpose as messy as they are. And I got the chicken house set up so when they, you know, and they drop their mess, I can just take it out very easily, compost it, and, you know, mix it in with the seeds when I plant the seeds.
Next time I see you, Dwayne, I'm going to bring this. I'm going to let you see this book. It even tells you how to make shingles out of wood, how to cut a tree down and make shingles. I mean, it's really, really, really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I hope we never get to that. But, even how to dig a well.
And working is vital to know how to do. You'd be just amazed at the stuff you can make out of very simple wood logs. And fortunately, I live in a very forested area. My property is just overgrown with trees. I've got no shortage of them. So I could use them to make – I do use them to make all kind of things, you know, places to stack the firewood. I got a fireplace. So I can – if I had to, I could heat the house with firewood just from around my house. And I've got a lot of firewood as it is.
And even something as simple as knowing where your water table is on your property, because you can dig wells. Like we know, with it, you know, six feet down from here on our property, in a certain part of our property, you 6 feet down is water. So just knowing where your water is and things like that. So it's very interesting when it comes to being prepared, how deep it can go. And some people are into it really deeply, and some people just want to make sure they can survive. But either way, no matter what, how far and how deep you are into it, the key is being prepared for something, right? So if you can make it, they say that you should have at least 2 weeks of supplies in your home, for the people that live in your home or whoever you're going to have at your home. And I think that's reasonable.
By the way, I do have a 5,500 watt generator, and I have an alternate circuit panel that it's wired into. And if I have no electricity, I can run the more critical rooms in the house, like the one bathroom, the living room, the kitchen, the office where the computer and everything else is, I can run critical rooms in the house, including the refrigerator, on this 5,500-watt generator I got. And I can hook it right up to the house. All I can do is flick one switch, turn off the main circuit breaker panel. I got electrical power to critical areas in the house.
That's good. That's definitely what my wife and I were working on. The home that we're hopefully, fingers crossed, we can start building sometime before the end of this year. We want to make sure that, you know, we're going to do the solar panels and all the other good stuff, you know, but we want to be able to be self-sufficient because, again, who knows, another pandemic could be right around the corner, you know, knock on wood that it's not, you know, or
occasionally we get these thunderstorms around where I live and electric power goes out and I use my generator regularly for 2 or 3 hours until they restore the power. And I know it works. It only took me about an hour and a half to wire the circuit panel in. It was what was really easy to do it. And like I said, it's just one cable that hooks from the generator to the house that enables me to run these rooms off of a regular generator you get from Harbor Free. Very convenient. And then, you know, you can use the generator for other things. When you take the generator out somewhere, you got a generator. It's very portable. Oh, but by the way, did you guys hear what Joe Biden said today in the East Wing of the White House?
Oh, my gosh.
What did he say, sorry?
Oh, man, you got your seatbelts buckled?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get it in. What
okay,
Biden say?
Buckle your seatbelts. You don't need them. I don't want you to injure yourself when you jump out of your seat. Maybe hit the ceiling or something if you got something close overhead. Okay, here we go. Joe Biden reintroduced his gun control agenda. You know, you call it for the usual ban on assault weapons and all that other jive. But here's where the money shot comes in. This is what he said. He wanted to remind lawful gun owners that your little AR-15 that hurls a 55-grain bullet at 3,200 feet per second, maybe 1,200 meters so at maximum ordnance. He wanted to remind you why it's useless for you to defy the government with, because the government has F-15s and nuclear weapons. Here is a quote. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government, if you think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. This is the President of the United States implying that you need to have nuclear weapons to use against your government because your government has them available to use against you if you dissent against your government by resorting to force of arms. This is what your President of the United States said to you openly in a press conference today. But here's another thing.
Wow.
I would like to remind your president, because I ain't going to claim him, I just ain't. I'd like to remind your president that somebody somewhere should remind this doddering old fool of the letters of mark and reprisal clause in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Now, back then, Congress would issue letters of mark and reprisal to a group of people known as privateers. Privateers routinely equipped their ships with legally purchased cannons, and they didn't even have to get a license from the non-existent Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to do it. Because Joe Biden today said Second Amendment doesn't allow you to have cannons. And back then, citizens privately owned military cannons. And further, after the war between the states, the federal government openly, go back and look it up, they openly advertised public auctions of surplus military cannon they just fought the Civil War with. Ordinary citizens routinely purchased them, and they were fully operational. This is right after the Civil War. Federal government just auctioned cannon off to private citizens, and they bought them.
Man.
And so when Joe Biden says this, like he usually pops off his ignorant, doddering, old, senile, stupid mouth, he's either ignorant of history, which is probably the case. He really knows nothing of history and even less of the Constitution. You can go back to him and literally refute him with historical facts. The framers, many of them owned cannons privately even before the country wrote the Constitution, say nothing of after. People did own cannon, and there were no restrictions, particularly on militarily suitable arms of all types. There were no restrictions.
Oh, okay. So people, the last, wait, I'm trying to get my thoughts together. So the last 5 minutes of this show, okay, if for no other reason, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in any way, shape, form, fashion, but I do see writing on walls. Any doubt that you may be needing to be prepared at some point in your lifetime, I suggest that you just continue to watch the news because things are about to get pretty bad, y'all, in my opinion. You can't say things like that. And the thing is that, and I'm not bringing up the Trump or anything, but people talked about this, the reckless things that Trump said, and they crucified him for that. Now, to me, to threaten law-abiding citizens after you call them law-abiding citizens and to threaten them in that way, to me, is, one, unbecoming of a president of the United States, two, unprofessional, period. And, to me, it's alarming and it's concerned. It concerns me. So,
Kid, they're not going to hear that. They don't hear that. They just hear get the guns away from people. They, all the other stuff that he says goes over everybody else's head. We'll hear it. We'll definitely hear it because we know a threat when we hear a threat. You know, that's our that's us going from yellow to orange, right? But the good old American the non-gun loving, because that's what they call us. We're the gun lovers. Why do you love guns? It's not about loving guns. Second Amendment right. And it's about my right to protect myself. That's what it is. If the Second Amendment right was about knives, guess what? I want a knife because that's my right. You can't take my knife away if that's what we're talking about. But in this case, we're talking about guns. You know, you waste all this energy and all this money that the rest of the American people don't really pay attention to fighting this so-called, what do you call it, pandemic? The gun violence pandemic or whatever the hell he called it. There's no pandemic. And then I think he also said in the same address today, too, that the gun lobbyists would have you think that the states with the toughest gun laws are the ones that have the most gun crime. But he also said that's not true. That's BS.
Democrats reign, wherever
California.
Democrats reign, violent crime follows, not gun violence.
Man.
Violent crime of all types committed by people who are not even legally allowed to own them in the first place. I know this because I never, ever... I took dozens of guns off the street in my career, and I never took one from one that was legally entitled to have it in the first place under existing laws. They all were violating the law when they had them in their possession, every single time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wherever Democrats reign, this is what you get. It's just a fact.
And stuff that he says, too, you know, it's riling people up. But the difference between how people react to what he says to how people react to what Trump said. I think those same people that got riled up when Trump said the crazy stuff he said, they're doing it different now. They're doing it in secrecy. They're doing it behind closed doors. And when it's time to react, they're going to react. And unfortunately, there's going to be people stuck in the crosswind of all that stuff, and those people are going to have to choose government or what I would say free Americans, you know, and they're going to use that. They're going to divide that. The biggest way for them to win is division. And unfortunately, I say it, they're very successful at driving that division narrative. They're very successful from the type of guns we can own to vaccine, not vaccine, you know, vaccinated, not vaccinated, to mask, not no mask. You know, they're really good at driving and really pounding home that narrative. So, like, listen to Kia.
Yeah, this has been a great show. We're going to have to revisit this and do a part two.
Absolutely.
But I thank you, Sarge, for all of your knowledge you drop. As usual, we really appreciate you always. We want to send many blessings to Elliot out there in the field. He thought he was going to be able to hop on tonight, but he's not. He's out in the field. We want to make sure that he stays safe. Thank you, Dwayne. We did a good job tonight covering this topic, so we definitely have to do it again. I want to revisit this topic again because I think it's very important, and if you know, people need to understand and know how important it really is.
Absolutely. And Sars, thank you as always for jumping on. Kia, Kia, you're awesome. E, you're awesome, sir. Thank you for all you do. And to our listeners, everybody, thank you very much and have
good
an
night.
Incredible, beautiful night.
Night, night.